episode 582 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How are you this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. I was missing you this weekend, Seth. I wanted to play some 60 cards, so I did the unthinkable, Seth. I fired up Arena and crafted a deck and played standard, Seth.
What did you craft, Richard? What was the deck?
Guess. After running down like nostalgic lane, guess what I ended up playing in standard?
There's no like mid-range. Like, Demir's the only mid-range deck that's kind of lessons. Did you just end up with lessons or no prowess? You ended up with prowess after playing. We played Cutter a little while ago, and you got the prowess bug. I bet.
You have a guess?
Mono red. Oh my God,
Krim, you think that lowly of me. Jeez. I'm playing stacks, Seth. I'm playing what people call Azorius Tempo. But that's just a stacks deck, right? You just actually get the high noon down and lock him out of the game. I don't know what tempo, I guess it's tempo when your opponent just simply does not move. But it's literally you assemble three cards together, your opponent doesn't play the game anymore. So I'm playing stacks. It's kind of funny.
How did you enjoy it? How are you enjoying standard after all of our retro games lately?
I feel I do nothing every game, actually. I feel like I have no control over the outcome of the games. I'm in bronze or something. Maybe silver now. I don't know. I'm like romping through at my 90-plus win rate, but I feel like I'm doing nothing. Like, I just play the cards on curve, and then they fall over.
I'm like, okay, cool.
I'm like, cool, yeah. And like, I have all these spell snares in my deck for badger moles or something. I don't know. But I haven't seen a single one yet, so... We'll see how it goes once I actually get to a decent level of competition.
Yeah. well, enjoy. Enjoy some standard. We got another co-host in Krim. Good morning, Krim. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. I think I've been telling y'all about how I've been trying to foil out my Onslaught set for my collection, because that's the only set I want to master, and I'm getting close, except for... the fetch lands. I don't have any of them.
This is going to be rough. But
did you know random cards are like super pricey? Infest is like $40. Ravenous Baloth is like in Christmas Land of like $150. And Smother is like $150. So just even Naturalize in foil is $30. So lots of random cards.
I was trying to figure out how much the full foil set costs. So I looked it up. It looks like 11-12k is like the eBay price if you want to just snag the entire set, which is kind of insane.
How much of that is fetch lands?
Probably half. I bet.
Yeah,
it's like
a grand a piece or something.
Right? Yeah.
Oh man.
Should have sweated out your old decks back in the day with your foil fetches.
But I had them. That's the funny thing. I had the Flooded Strand and the Delta, and then I sold them to buy more Flooded Strands and Deltas in non-foil.
Oh, I mean, playset in non-foil is better than one foil, right? You gotta have a playset to play your decks.
Yeah. But, you know, at least
price wise, that did not work out.
Collection.
Yeah. Anyway, today we are talking Secrets of Strixhaven. We are right in the middle of spoiler season. The set looks ridiculous. So we're going to go through the cards and the mechanics. And I am really excited to talk about this set. But before we do, a couple of quick reminders. Our show today is brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service via sending as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more, and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use our sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show's also brought to you by Heavy Play, advanced gaming equipment. The new Art Master Series playmat from Jim Pavlak just released, featuring angels and demons and djinns and dragons and more. Their unique folding design lets you fit them in a standard laptop bag, and EquipMag lets you attach optional dice boxes or even multiple playmats together. So check out the new Art Master Series playmats from Jim Pavlak at heavyplay.com/mtggoldfish, or use the code mtggoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And let's talk some Magic, and let's start with Secrets of Strixhaven. And I gotta ask you, before we get to these cards and mechanics, is this set, like, super pushed? I keep feeling like this set is just, like, very... like, the spells are so much stronger than what we normally get. Or am I off base? Does this set seem pushed to you guys?
I think it's pretty strong. There's lots of, at least I think there's a few cards here that I'm concerned about when it comes to like one card engines. That is a little bit of a concern and something that I think we may be coming back to revisit in a few months.
What do you think, Richard?
I think there's no in between, right? Like, if you don't super push it, weren't we saying like, oh, maybe Turtles is pushed, right? Like, oh, it looks strong compared to Spider-Man, and then like Turtles sees like zero play basically. So it's possible that none of these see play. I mean, I don't think so. Some of them look very strong, but it has to be that strong to break through and like compete with Lessons and Badger Bowl Cubs or whatever. So I don't know. I think this is going to be normal. I feel like most sets are going to be like this if you want them to see any kind of play.
So this is just what a 2026 set looks like. Like, it has to be pretty strong to actually show up. I guess that is true. I don't know. I feel like there's some just like staple-y cards that like we didn't really expect them to print into Standard. Like, well, we got a Path to Exile. We haven't had a Path to Exile in Standard in like 15 years or something. So
that's,
I don't know, some of that stuff. So it's bait. Well, I mean, yes, Path to Exile itself is bait. But still, we've debated this before. I'm getting ahead of myself. We got mechanics
mechanics first.
Is Path even good in Standard anymore? I guess tune in a half hour once we get through the mechanics and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, we got more pressing questions. Don't forget. Path to Exile, Seth. Is Ancestral Recall good in Standard?
I mean, when it's attached to a 5-drop creature.
Let's jump straight to it. Okay? Secrets of Strixhaven. You can find them over at mtgpreviews.com. We're going to go over the new mechanics, and then we're going to go over some strong cards, one of which Seth hinted to is a Path to Exile variant. But we literally do have Ancestral Recall. It comes in the prepare mechanic. Now, of course, the card we're about to talk to you about has no reminder text on what prepare is, okay? So, it's like one of those adventure things. There's like a card within a card, okay? And you can cast the inside card if the creature is prepared. Some creatures enter the battlefield prepared, okay? Some do not. Some become prepared based on a condition. If they are prepared, you can cast the inner card, and then they become unprepared. Okay, confused yet? Okay, let's go.
Yes.
So Emeritus of Ideation, 5 mana. It's a 5/5 human wizard, flying ward 2. This creature enters prepared. When this creature attacks, you may exile 8 cards from your graveyard. If you do, this creature becomes prepared. And then the inside card is Ancestral Recall. Just honest to goodness, Ancestral Recall. So a single blue instant target player draws 3 cards. Is this card good? Because everyone sees Ancestral Recall and loses their mind. Okay, and you're like, oh my god, it's actually repeatable too, right? If you somehow get, you know, like do the 8 card thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this card good or is it nostalgia bait?
Well,
both?
So
I think both. It's probably both.
Wait, how good do you think this actually is? This also feels like what Ancestral Recall should have costed way back when, by
that,
the way.
That also,
right,
that
this
also
is like what it would have been if it was balanced way back when.
When they first spoiled this card, I had people asking me, like, well, can you just cast Ancestral Recall? I think, do you actually think they just made a strictly better Ancestral Recall that gives you the option to cast a 5/5 creature?
Hey,
or no, there's no.
Quarterly earnings are down.
Actually, yeah.
Time to release Recall.
My take on this card is I think it's good. I don't know if it's quite Quantum Riddler good. I'm hoping that we end up in a situation where this is close to Quantum Riddler power level, but better in different styles of decks, where like Riddler is going to be better in decks that can blink it, or like creature decks. Maybe this is better in spell decks or control decks. So my guess is a little bit behind Quantum Riddler, but still playable. But what do you guys think? Like, is that about right, you think, power level wise?
It's so funny that I'm about to say this, but I feel like it's just not as good as Quantum Riddler. I'd rather just play Quantum Riddler. I know Ancestral Recall is attached to the card, but hear me out. This is bait. This card is bait. In current Standard, I think this card is super bait. Even though it enters prepared, I get that one. That one's nice. But then really, I just paid 6 mana. This is like opportunity. I just casted an opportunity that left me a 5/5. which I don't even think is that good because the creature itself doesn't have flash. So, yeah, I don't know. Am I wrong? Am I off base here?
Yeah. So a couple of, I guess, caveats to this, right? So if you counter the Emeritus, right? Because everyone's thinking like, okay, you're going to pay 6 mana for a 5/5 and then you're going to draw 3, right? But if you counter the card, then you cannot prepare, right? Yeah. So, you know, you leave your 1 mana open and you do it and it gets countered, right? So, but, you know, let's just take for face value. This thing is a 6 mana 5/5 draws 3 ETB. I think it's bad. I think you could potentially play it and not be laughed out of the room, but you probably aren't going to do this. Like, I think it's like a C card or something because you have Quantum Riddler and you have Morang River Regent, the dragon, right? Like, yep. This doesn't have a 2 mana mode or a 3 mana mode or a 1 mana mode. This is your top end. Right? And it's going to clog up your hand, and your draw 3 is going to draw you into more of this useless top end. Right? You need to kind of be ending the game or doing the combo or something. So I feel this card, like, kind of sucks, but would it shock me if some control deck played this as, like, a 2 or 3 of at the top end and, like, did some legitimate results? I'm like, yeah, it'd be fine. Right? But I don't think I'm like, oh, I got to play blue, got to get these ancestral recalls in. It's just a 6 mana 5/5 draw 3, and it's like okay.
I mean, what is Quantum Riddler? Isn't that a 5 mana 4 whatever?
No, no, no. Quantum Riddler has the warp mode. The warp mode is everything on that card.
Would you play Quantum Riddler without warp? I think it's like unplayable, right? Like, I don't think we played it anymore without the warp. Yeah.
So a 2 mana cycling for 2 mana makes the card. That's what you're saying.
It's
two
not
mana, 2
cycling,
mana cycling
though.
OP. Like, that's what it is. It's 2 mana draw a card. Like, that's it.
But
it goes away.
But it's not. It's not, because once you get down to 1 with how fast you can dump your hand, Riddler just usually draws you more than, like, in a worst case scenario, it is a cycler. But its upside is that it can just draw you multiple cards in one turn.
That is true. That is true. I mean, I'm not arguing this is better than Riddler, but I do think there might be decks where it's better than Riddler. And, like, the Ancestral triggers spell synergies. You can Treasure Cruise, potentially, and do it a second time.
Drawing? Seth loves drawing cards. So what are you drawing? like,
what are you drawing?
Endgame. Like, what are we drawing anymore? Like, you're drawing more of your mediocre finisher? Like, what are we doing? We're supposed to win the game.
I mean, what is Quantum Riddler drawing? Like, I don't know, what is any card draw drawing at that point? But I don't know. I mean, so do you think that this archetype of card is just bad, or do you think this card is bad? Like, do you think prepared is just not a powerful mechanic because you have to, like, jump through hoops for it? Or do you think this card is just, like, not of the power level?
If this was a grizzly bear that came with Ancestral Recall, it'd be amazing, right? The problem is it's just, like, super top end, or like maybe the prepare needs to be something like crazy, like name some other broken power 9 card. Like you know, like it needs to like finish the game at like 6 mana, right? Like, you're not even gonna get here most of the time. You don't even get, like, a 5 mana spell is like illegal in standard, right? Like, think of this as just a mulligan in hand, you know what I mean? Like, most of the time, this is not being cast, so in the off chance you survive and make it there, you better win on the spot, right? So that doesn't do this.
I will just say, everyone was kind of mid on Quantum Riddler when it was first spoiled. And now that card's, like, everywhere in standard. But that wasn't a card that when it first came out, people were like, oh my God, this is, like, going to be crazy. So we'll see.
But Quantum Riddler at least has I could see the makings of why that's good, right? Like, it could be good. I mean, obviously, I didn't think I think it'd be, like, that good by any chance. But, like, it has that cheaper mode that Richard's talking about. This does not. Unless you're talking about reanimating it. But then you're reanimating to draw 3 instead of just winning the game.
I mean, what if this literally was a grizzly bear, Richard, but it cast a different spell? Like a lightning bolt, perhaps.
Oh, that one? Okay. Emeritus of Conflict. That's a mythic. Oh, these mythics nowadays. 2-mana 2/2. Human Wizard. These are all wizard archetype, which keep in mind. First strike. Whenever you cast your third spell each turn, this creature becomes prepared. What do we call it? The prepare part of it is lightning bolt.
Spell mode? I don't know. Yeah.
Single red mana. Lightning bolt deals 3 damage to any target. So, notably, this does not enter prepared. Okay? So this is not a 3-mana 2/2 that bolts face. This is your third spell. Also, notably, this creature counts towards that count. And also, the the lightning bolt counts as well, right? So if you're trying to like go infinite or something, like the lightning bolt counts towards the spell. Is this any good? Is 2-mana 2/2 first strike good enough?
I mean, 2-mana 2/2 first strike is not good enough on its own anymore. That's for sure. Kind of, I mean, same with Emeritus of Ideation, like a 5-mana 5/5 flying ward 2. We've had that effect in Standard recently, and that's not good enough without the ability being good. So the question is the lightning bolt good enough? Is casting 3 spells in a turn too much? I mean, to me, it seems very realistic to turn this on, especially in a world of like Storm Chaser's Talent and Boomerang basics. Like those loops, you can very easily be casting 2 spells if you need to, or 3 spells if you need to, depending on if you already have it prepared to cast a lightning bolt. But it seems very easy to cast 3 spells a turn. Krim, do you think it's worth it in those decks? Like, I think a Boomerang basics Storm Chaser's Talent deck can turn this on consistently, but do you want it? Do you want a 2-mana 2/2 that lightning bolts once in a while?
See, the thing is, I feel like they could just win without it, right? Like, this is like, they could do it, they could easily hit the 3 spells a turn, but, like, it does feel tight, like a very tight list and very tuned, because why not just play Slick Shot, right? Because this would have to replace Slick Shot, which actually wins the game right there. Having that ability to stow it away with plot, I think this is a card that'll be a player in time, but, like, right now, that blue-red prowess deck doesn't feel like it needs this card. It could play it, but that's because, again, Izzet is also has in a place where it can just choose whatever it wants to play because it's loaded with so many good cards.
Might just end up with Izzet Wizards being a top tier deck, and then we'll have like the fifth Izzet deck at the
yeah,
top
the
of the meta. Just every set we get some tier Izzet deck. Yeah,
you know what? As long as it's in blue and red, there's at least a chance it gets played and is viable somewhere.
What do you think, Richard? Like, do you think the repeatable lightning bolt's good enough? Too slow? Right.
As someone who said Koi Steel Cutter was trash on release, right? Who then went to play Cutter for the entirety of that Standard in Alchemy. I think this card is trash. Because, look, let's say you untap with this by some miracle, okay? You need 4 mana to do the thing, right? You're going to cast 3 spells to prepare it. Right? That's, let's say, at least 1 mana per spell. The 4th mana gets the bolt, or you cast 3 spells. That's 3 mana. Hope you untap with it, unprepare it or prepare it and then do it. I think that's like way too many hoops to jump through. And if I am able to sling like 4 or 5 spells, there's ways to win the game, right? Like Krim said, like Slick Shot, like you just win right there. Like, you get to see a bolt, right? Like, that's not even that good. And part of the appeal of Bolt is it's not dead off the top, right? You get them down right to 2 or whatever, you're top decking, bam, Bolt, you're dead. This is like you top deck, you're like, okay, cool beans, bro. Let me top deck 3 more non-land cards and get there. So I feel this is not worth the juice. You gotta do so much work for it. And mind you, I said all this about Koi Steel Cutter, right? But that's 2 spells.
Right, I feel like one, I'm like,
this is so many, right? Like, so I would not be, I would be shocked if this saw play. I can't imagine, like, the 4th spell being your payoff.
So it's
that's
not
a lot.
That bad, right? I mean,
that's a Storm deck, right? So, like, think of, like, Modern Storm or something, right? Like, you play 4 spells and win the game. You're going to chain this together?
Here's the actual problem with this card. So I think this card would be good in something like Is It Self-Bounds. I don't know if it needs it, as Krim said, but I think the actual problem is people are just, because of what Standard's like right now, which is Bazdrimul versus, is it essentially, or versus removal decks, everyone is packing a ton of hate for cards like this, right? Because you have to pass the Bazdrimul Cub removal check, which means you're incidentally going to pass the Emeritus removal check with the same cards that you're using to pass the Bazdrimul check. So it's just hard for me
this.
It's just not going to stick out, right? It's not going to stick out. It's just going to die.
Richard, it's not that bad.
Oh, yeah,
would
no.
Would you fire, let's say your opponent plays an Emeritus on curve. You untap, you have 2 mana removal. You firing this, or you're going to deploy your threat or draw cards or something? I'm just passing.
Richard is right. Depending on which deck, like, I would wait a little, right? I would see what would happen.
Maybe by the time they get to 4 mana, if you're feeling the heat, you might remove it. But even then, I still might just let it go.
Yeah,
right?
But I feel like that's how I die, right? That's definitely how I die.
Put the 3rd spell on the stack to dream crush them. That's how you steal their soul there. Like, oh, I'm going to get that bolt, and then boom. Got him. Oh, so both of these cards suck then? Is that where we're landing? Both of them, I think
that's why we're
enough.
Like, oh, this deck, this set is so powerful. I'm like, is it though? Are we all getting baited because you see Lightning Bolt and Ancestral Recall? Or do we think these cards are actually powerful? And I think it's a mix of both, right? I think we're kind of getting baited by some of these cards. But
some of these cards are definitely bait.
Even if they suck, they're cool. I'll give them that. I think they're really cool and nostalgic. So we'll see if they're good, but
I'm waiting for the adventure prepare card. So like inside the square, there's like another square.
There's a square and the two squares
the square
underneath
inside
it.
The square. And then, you know, it goes on an adventure after. Then you're like, wait, what do I cast? The inside part or the outside part, judge? So yeah. That's where we're headed. Okay. Next mechanic. Repartee. Counselor's Duelist, okay? White, white, black, black. It's a core warlock. It's a 4/3. When this creature enters, draw a card. Each player loses a life. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, exile up to one target creature, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step.
This would have been the best card in Standard in like 2016. I swear. Back in that era of Magic when you could play these like grindy mid-rangey cards, I feel like this card would be insane, right? It's like, it kind of reminds me of the original like Ghost Dad, Ghost Council of Orzhov or whatever.
Obsidat?
That could like blink itself out. Right? The one before Obsidat though, from like original Ravnica. I think it was just called Ghost Council or something.
Yeah,
it would,
like, yeah.
You could blink it out when it drained, when it entered. It reminds me of that. Like, this card is powerful, right? You get it down. If your opponent tries to kill it, you just kill one of their things and blink it out. You can blink your other stuff. But it's 4 mana, and it's just slow and grindy. So I feel like this is a card that just doesn't work today. But I think it is, like, a pretty good version of what it's trying to do. It's just, like, kind of slow and fair for 2026 Magic for me.
I think the double color pips on each half, like, double white, double black.
Yeah.
That is real. But the mana is so good. It's getting good again, like, real good, right? So maybe that's not as big of a deal. But even if I go through all of those hoops... This card, I don't know. Okay, the one thing I have to say, though, is Repartee. Okay, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, exile up to one target creature. That is, targets
it blinks.
A creature.
It comes back at the end of so, the end step.
But it's not just your stuff.
No, you could, like, cast a removal spell on one of your opponent's things and blink out another thing to, like, get through more damage or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, that is a thing you could do.
It's astral slice.
I think that might...
It almost
that,
is.
That might be good. I wouldn't sleep on that because at first I read this as it's just another form of, like, a magecraft of sort, right? Except without pumping. But the fact that I can target my opponent's things does pique my interest here. Blinking out tokens, right? Blinking out even, because again, it just says a land. It doesn't say non-land creature, right? Yep. There's things where, and situations where I think this could be really, really good.
Yeah.
So.
It resets Earthbend. It gets rid of tokens. It resets, like, the big landfall threat. Even, like, the landfall kills with Harmonizer, just blinking out that threat is enough to save you. Like, that's a huge deal. So, but it's just 4 mana. Richard, you're the mid-range master. Can we play cards like this in 2026?
No. Maybe there's a deck that you can build that, like, actually, like, so what would it be? Full of ETB creatures and things that, like,
Panharmonicon
cycle? Because like the worst is you play this, you draw a card, right? So at least it cycles itself. But then, like, you don't have any, like, spot removal to blink with because you used it all, tried to survive up to this point. And then it's like, okay, you just sit around and it does nothing. The best case is you untap, you have some, like, cycle, like, all your cards cycled. It's basically Astral Slide I'm explaining to you here. Your cards all cycle, so you still have gas. And then... You target one of their things, you bounce the, or you flicker out the thing that's attacking you, or you flicker your own thing that gets you card advantage. It just seems too cute. And, like, you would play it in this deck and only this deck, right? Like, an Astral Slide type deck. You wouldn't be like, oh, I'm playing Orzhov midrange. Let me just slam this in the same value, right? Like, it has to be built around this. It is not legendary,
it
shockingly
is
enough, right? So you can, like, stack these things up. And then, like, really put the screws in on someone. So, like, I can see a fun deck, but is this Astral Slide deck actually, like, gonna be, like, tier anything? I don't know.
Ketchermos. I bet you can build a Ketchermos deck with this. Like, because it blinks stuff out, then it trigger Ketchermos, and you've got a bunch of spells anyway with Ketchermos that you want to target. So, like, maybe there's something along those lines that could make it work. I mean, I like this card. I'm just afraid it's going to be too slow. But, like, if you can stick it on the battlefield, it is going to be hard to kill, right? Assuming you have cards in hand so you can trigger its repartee ability, like, going to be hard to get it off the battlefield.
Yeah, I think it has play. I think it has play. I don't know when. Right now, we'll see. On opening week and whatnot, once you get to actually play with the mechanic.
It still is dying. Okay, if you exchange a card, is it legitimate? Here's my question, right? You spend 4 mana, you play this, okay? Mm-hmm. For ETBs, and they Doomblade it. You got a card back, but you lost like 2 to 3 mana of tempo. Is this acceptable? Have we moved like beyond Dice to Doomblade now? Like, sufficient loss of tempo has occurred, even though I didn't lose a land. Like, what? How do we feel about this? Is that a fair exchange? I think you die if this happens, right? And you lost a life or something. I don't know why you lose a life when you cast this thing. But like, is that not like terrible, or is it okay? What do you guys think? Because I'm not sure about that.
That's actually a tough one.
I don't think it's the end. I don't think it's the end. I don't think you die for that.
I mean, I think it's going to be a little matchup dependent, but I think
that's card neutral, right? It doesn't die to Doomblade. You cycle a card out, right? Or you not cycle, but you draw a card.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think it's fine
with where removal is too. It is funny enough that it just it's pretty sturdy. It forces the Bitter Triumph or you know whatever, shoot the sheriff. And most of the time, people are just sitting waiting on hexes and things like that. So
Well, I'm more worried about this thing getting just bounced straight back like a boomerang basics or a flood.
I guess, yeah,
you just
right.
lost
there
3 mana of tempo and
a
life. And I mean, I'm like,
I think you want to play it like on 6 or something, right? I think you want to try to play this like tireless tracker where you're leaving up enough mana to trigger it once, because then you can protect it. So I think ideally you want to have mana up when you play it.
Oh no, we're setting up the path to exogs. Like what mana spell are you playing?
Yes, yes, the path. We
look
found
at that
the home.
Value. That's insane.
All right, Opus. Exhibition Tidecaller, a single blue. It's a 0/2. It's a Djinn Wizard. Opus. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, target player mills 3 cards. If 5 or more mana was spent to cast that spell, that player mills 10 cards instead.
Cram.
So this has the fix, right? It's not mana value, right? This is no, like, I play a Leyline Binding and, like, mill you out, right? You have to actually spend 5 or more, honest to good, mana to get this to trigger, which I think makes this doo-doo, but it's a crab for instance or sorceries, but then it becomes a mill 10 once you hit 5.
So that mill 10, forget about the mill 10, but like, is a crab that triggers 10 instance and sorceries, that's gotta be good, right, Krim? If we trigger crabs once a turn on land drops, wouldn't like this be crab power level at least?
If you can't. Okay, playing a land is much different than having to cast a spell, but being able to have this trigger, and I'm just rereading this card 100 times because it doesn't say once per turn.
No.
Right?
No.
So like, that's, I like that. We remove that bumper, but if 5 or more mana was spent to cast that spell, that's irrelevant. That part's irrelevant. I would still play, so mill right now is kind of fringe. You have like Kitsune's technique. You have all of this other stuff. You've already got a lot of spells here that you could do, but mill just feels like it's just dancing around becoming really, really playable. And this is a card that I think would be at the center of that, especially if I'm playing, because I play Excruciator. It feels real bad when I'm on the Excruciator deck and then I see this, or like, I don't know, the River Churn Monument, because then I know I'm gonna die here. So believe it or not, I think this card is playable. This card is only 1 mana as well. Very playable. And right now with this set, Wizard is a type that I like to see. I don't know. I kind of like this card. I kind of like this card a lot.
I actually think this card might be in Modern Mill. I actually think it might be better than the Crabs. Like, if you look at a Modern Mill deck, they're playing like 30 spells and all the like Surgicals and Fatal Pushes and Visions of Beyond. I think you realistically, like, you just play this and you cast the things you're going to cast anyway and mill more cards than you would with a Ruin Crab. Also worth mentioning, you mill yourself. So this can be the, like, I'm playing Arclight Phoenix. I'm casting a ton of spells. I want my graveyard full. Oh, I'm going to target myself and get my Arclights in the graveyard. So I actually think this card might be even better outside of Standard, as crazy as that might sound.
This is a mill card, but not like a mill you out card, but like an Arclight Phoenix type card. Like, oh, that I could get behind that. What if we just took like spell elementals or lessons or some crap and just threw this in here? What happens, right? Like, you're chaining a bunch of spells.
You could mill yourself, which is really good, so that you get your cheaper elementals.
Can you actually mill someone out later, though? Is this a card? Like, are you playing a dedicated mill deck, or can I just like throw this in the board, or even put it main deck and like self mill for value, and then finish you off with the mill? Like, there's.
I mean, is
it possible?
Somewhat possible. So, if you think another comparison here would be Brain Freeze. Brain Freeze. You cast 20 spells, they mill 3 each. You mill them out. Like, if you play this, especially in the mid game when people have already been drawing cards, it doesn't seem that unrealistic that it could turn into a win con. The problem with like lessons and spell mentals is it doesn't really work with the synergies. Like, there's such a high cost of playing a non-lesson in lessons or a non-elemental in spell mentals. So I worry about like that. But if it like didn't have the card type issue, I feel like that plan would be good. Like, I think it would work if there was like a generic version of lessons that didn't care so much about lessons. I think it would work.
All right.
I think it could work.
I think it's good. If it shows up, we won't be shocked. We won't be surprised, Pikachu. But if it does nothing, we won't be shocked either. We're like, yeah. Oh, it wasn't Bill's time yet.
It's just too aggressively costed to not be good. I think this card has to be playable somewhere.
I agree.
All right. Next curse. Next mechanic. Infusion. Withering Curse. 1BB. All creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. Infusion. If you gained life this turn, destroy all creatures instead.
This card's insane. Do we have gain lands?
Can we gain life?
Oh, yeah, we do have gain lands.
Yeah, we have gain lands.
I will say, I kind of absolutely hate that this is a mythic. I feel like this is exactly the kind of card I don't want at mythic, but I feel like this is going to be a really important card for Standard, because in Standard, the Infest mode, the -2/-2, that still wipes out Prowess, that still wipes out Badger Mole Cub, and then if you're a deck that can gain life with the gain lands or other synergies, maybe that, whatever, like, however you're gaining life, then a Hard Wrath for 3 mana is very good, too. So I think this card is at least a sideboard staple in Standard, and probably even better than that in life gain decks, but what do you guys think on this one?
I mean, yeah, like, it's so easy to gain some life right now, and then I don't even need it to blow up everything. The -2, as you had mentioned, is just solid enough. So, yeah, this is just a very, very good clean sweeper. I'm a fan of this.
All right, you guys got to convince me what life. Cause I'm not playing no gain land in my deck, okay? Like, what what ways are there to gain life that I'm already playing such that this, okay, like, moves up from... So 3 mana, -2/-2 is sideboard quality already, right? We play that from time to time. But if it upgrades into an honest sweeper, like the bat, can do it, right? The bat is a one life blinker.
Hex Requiting blight. Hex, you can blight
right?
it to
like, which okay, I guess you. Is redundant, because why would you? Because you're going to try to blow up everything. But, I mean, the bat's good. You have Preacher of the Schism if you are behind, and you just have those vampire tokens,
ooh,
right?
Okay, yep.
So you have lots of that there. And then you also have...
Scavenging Ooze, potentially. Scoos. Like, I'm thinking this might be a Golgari card, because we know that Witherbloom / Golgari, like, they have a very heavy life gain theme. So I think it'll probably be even better with some of the cards that we get from Strixhaven itself.
The one thing that is nice, though, I guess it's like a 6 mana sweeper at that point, though. If I go play Deceit, Hex, right, pick something off, gain the life and then sweep. But again, that's like,
Toxic Deluge.
That's like a million mana to do all of that. But like, yeah, like, this is definitely going to be in a black based deck. And I think Dimir, the Orzhov deck, I know isn't like a real deck, but I think it's played enough. Like the Bats deck, as you had mentioned, is, I think it would gladly play this.
I'm not too worried about mid range decks, because like, whatever. I'm more worried about control decks. Like, if I have Dimir control and I have the ability to three mana sweeper or three mana, like, weenie sweeper or, like, three mana, like, full-on sweeper without destroying my deck. Maybe you do play life gain lands. I don't know, right? But if you can do that, it becomes insanely powerful, right? Because you essentially have a three mana wrath, you know, for the aggressive decks where you don't need to do the life gain. And then for the non-aggressive decks, you can still get a full wrath out of this. So that's where I'd be scared that this thing is overpowered. If Golgari wants to randomly wrath, go ahead. Like, sure. Like, okay, you can do it, right? But it usually goes against your strategy, right? Like, if you're a mid-range deck.
Control doesn't have too many ways to do anything with that. Like, maybe the only other deck that could play it is the Sultai Reanimator deck with, what's that enchantment that you gain a life when a thing leaves your graveyard? Do you know the green enchantment?
Oh, yeah.
It's green, black, blue, so it's a Sultai deck.
Dredger's Insight.
Yeah, Dredger's Insight. Yeah. Like, that, I think that actually is really good out of the sideboard of that Sultai deck, because a lot of the stuff you have, you don't care if it dies or not, right? You can just have it all come back. So Dredger's Insight is one that's very easy to trigger and just gain a life from.
Yeah, card's good.
All right. The most terribly named card I've ever seen. Flashback. Yes, flashback to card.
They said the thing.
Not flashback to mechanic, but no. It gives you flashback, okay? So single red flashback. Target instant or sorcery in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. And is it a blue card? Nope, it's a red card. So
more is it.
Is this good? Is Snapcaster for one mana but no body?
I think this card is the best card in the set.
I think this card is very good.
Yeah.
It's a flashbacking.
So the obvious homes is going to be storm style decks where you can like just flashback your rituals, you can flashback your card, or you can flashback anything, like any sort of like Ruby Storm deck. I think this card is so busted. I'm curious what Krim thinks about control decks. I was thinking about like, would you play this in like Jeskai Control in Standard, where essentially it's a one mana tax to cast the best thing in your graveyard for the situation. So early you can flashback counters, you can flashback your stock ups or whatever, and then late you can flashback your win cons. Do you think this is good? Is this like a Snapcaster that you actually would play in control too?
The problem is, in a control deck in the current year, I can't ever be sitting with a card that doesn't do anything. Mm. Right? So, like, with how good the threats are right now, I feel as great as the dream is to, like, flashback a Jeskai Revelation again. You know what I mean? At 8 mana, yada, yada, yada. When you do it, it's going to feel great. If I see this in a control deck, I can't imagine it being more than a one of. Like, maybe, you know, the fun ofs here. But I do not want to be caught dead just holding this while stuck on, like, you know, holding spells, all of that other stuff. So I don't see this in high numbers in control if it exists. I think this is definitely going to be the prowess decks, any spell elemental, all the blue-red decks, because why not? Give them another good card.
Yep. That's so good. What do you think, Richard?
Does this fix the Emeritus of Conflict?
No.
So I think I agree with Krim. I don't think you play this for value. You play this where you care about number of spells and prowess and things like that. And you're probably playing the full playset. It's probably like all in, right? Like
maybe. I think it depends on the deck. Like I can see something like this being good in Lessons, but I don't know if you can afford to play this in Lessons. Like, in Prowess, I think it is very good, but it is weak in the early game, like Krim said. Like, that is its worst time, right? Because you're not going to have stuff in the graveyard. I think combo decks would play four of these for sure. Like, I think I'd play four in combo. What are you cutting out of Prowess?
Wait, I guess that would be the concern. You're going down a card, though. This is not Snapcaster. You're not getting a useless 2-1 body, right?
I mean,
because
yes,
I'm thinking it's like so powerful to be like turn one removal, turn two this thing removal, but then you have like no hand. But that's okay. We have Quantum Riddler.
we have the Emeritus. We have Quantum Riddler.
Because it's. Like, because you go turn one off, turn two, flashback off. Like, it's so powerful to choose, like, basically tutor and choose the good cards to reuse. But you are going down a card. You're not establishing a 2-1 body like Snapcaster Mage would. So, interesting. I don't know, but Quantum Riddler kind of does solve some of these issues.
Cool but Rude also gives you that tutor mode. You discard. You get a gamble out of it.
Yeah.
So we know that Cool But Rude is like a good card. This is in the colors to play a Cool But Rude. So maybe this like blue red churn through your deck and, you know, get wild, I guess, from there.
You also get like unlimited, well, quote unquote, unlimited prowess triggers. Like if you have a bunch of these in yard, right? Because you just like chain them together and then play a single blue spell or something at the end, right? So
I mean,
there's versatility.
That could actually be legit. Maybe you do play foreign prowess. Like on turn five or something, you just chain a bunch of these together with slick shot and just win. Like that
turn
that
five
actually seems.
What do you mean turn five? Okay,
we're talking about ways to win in turn five with slick shot. I don't know if this is valid.
I mean, if you're gonna chain a bunch of these together, you need a mana for each of them. So it's gonna have to
but
be
what
like
if I just
a
play
little
Oft
later,
instead?
Right?
What if I just do that?
But this gets back your Oft, Richard. I think this is a staple.
This goes down.
I think this card is very good in blue and red.
Yeah.
I do think this card is very good there. I just needed. I don't know what it'll look like, and I don't know the exact numbers, but I think some amount of these would be correct. Probably two.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Can you imagine just flashing back your ancestral recalls and stuff?
Oh,
like,
it's
got to be.
It's so good, right?
It's got to be.
Lessons
so
doesn't
good.
Hate that at all, right?
The Lessons recall, not the Emeritus of Ideation, okay, folks?
We have
ancestral recalls now. Never did I think this day would come where we have ancestral recalls.
There's so many recalls, and yeah, the Lesson one with Grand.
Do we still have mechanics? Jeez. Okay, we have... are you sure these are all mechanics, Seth? Are some of these just not flavor words? Increment.
Oh, gotcha. That's
Wise
the...
Extrapolator. Oh, my... I was like, extrapolinator? Like, what?
Extrapolinator.
2 green, blue, 1/4. Legendary creature, frog, druid. Increment. Whenever you cast a spell... If the amount of mana you spent is greater than this creature's power or toughness, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on Berta, add 1 mana of any color. X, tap, create a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature token and put X +1/+1 counters on it. Okay,
I mean,
is evolve, but for spells.
Evolve for spells.
I like that. I like that. That's cute. That works as Strixhaven, right? Like in what Strixhaven's trying to do.
It's the amount of mana spent, so not mana value. Okay.
Yep. They have solved the Leyline Binding problem, or they're attempting to solve the Leyline Binding problem. I feel like this card, like, the mechanic's fine. It is very much evolved for spells. I think you should be able to trigger it relatively easily, especially with these low-power, low-toughness creatures they have. This card itself, I feel like, probably could be a combo piece. Like anytime you see uncapped mana production, there's no once per turn or whatever. Like if you can find a way to just keep putting counters on this, you just keep making mana. So I could imagine there being some janky combo with this. The card itself, though, probably more of a commander card. Like outside of some against odds combo, you're probably not playing this one in standard, are you, Krim?
No. Okay. I don't see. Wait, what is teamer? What's the teamer combo with the 4/3 that makes everything like, is it cost 4?
Oh, Teamer Battle Crier? The Battle
Is Battle Crier
deck?
Power 4 or less? Or 4 or greater? Or spell cost 4 or greater that gets the reduction?
Oh, power based, isn't it?
I thought it was
power. Is it power based? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So cost 1 less to cast
power.
For
limited
all
star.
Power 4 or greater.
Yeah.
Ah, no, yeah. I mean, like, if you can't reduce that and it comes down, I mean, it isn't green, the color that can probably cheat it out, but, and it probably infinitely disperse counters between this. I don't know. Maybe there is something there because you have Cactus Man. You have Cactus Man from Outlaws. You have Michelangelo Weirdness to 11. Those guys are doubling up counters, putting lots of counters.
But you only get one mana.
No. Oh, you know where it goes, Krim? It goes in my Mutagen Man deck. You can crack the Mutagen for free, and they turn into rituals because they're
actually,
free with Mutagen Man, and this generates mana, so you can actually, like, pop off.
This sounds like 15 pieces to make happen. So, maybe it's not playable. But it is cool that it could work in something like that, right?
Yeah, you need to reveal the other part of your Mutagen Man deck, Seth. Does it involve Llanowar Elf and Badgermole Comp?
Of course.
This one needs another combo, though, because increment means you want to cast more expensive spells to add mana, and the mana is only one, it doesn't like really go infinite with itself, right? Like you
That's
need some
X
other source, like Mutagen Man, to like add the thing, right?
Yeah, it would be like 3 plus card combos. Although, okay. Sadly, it's only one. You get one mana no matter how many counters you put on it, just so that's clear. So that makes it a little less explosive.
Okay, we still have more. What is going on?
There's one more.
Lessons are back.
There are lessons.
Improvisation Capstone. 5 red. Sorcery lesson. And it's also mythic. Are all our cards mythics? Okay. Exile cards from the top of your library until you exile cards with mana value. What? With total mana value 4 or greater, you may cast any number of spells from among them without paying their mana cost. Paradigm. Then exile this spell. After you first resolve a spell with this name, you may cast a copy of it from exile without paying its mana cost at the beginning of each of your first main phases. Wait, what? So this is like epic?
It's epic. It's just epic. It's epic.
This is like the most confusing word. So you play this. 7 mana, you get 4 mana value of stuff, right? Or, you know, like maybe... at least 4. It may like roll over. But then you get to cast this every single turn at the beginning of your first main phase forever. So it's kind of like epic, but you can still do stuff.
Yes. It gets around the downside of epic. And then you can't do some of the shenanigans since it's only the first time you resolve it. You can't like copy it or something like you could epic spells. I think it's cool to see fixed epic.
Can you stifle this?
I think
you have to stifle the pick.
Think so. You could probably stifle.
No, it's part of the resolution, right? It becomes paradigm, and afterwards there are actual spells. Right?
It doesn't ever put any ability on the stack, right? But let's say if I counter the paradigm half, does it then end the loop?
So if it resolves once, the loop's gonna keep going for as long as the game goes. So countering like a paradigm on turn 2 or turn 3 or whatever of this resolving isn't gonna stop it forever because you're casting the copy of it.
Okay, so
the original
sits
staying in exile. Yeah, okay. It just sits in exile, and you cast a copy beginning of each pre-combat main phase. I mean, this card probably not good, right? Like for standard, it's just like 7 mana. It's probably fun for commander.
Yeah, and it does get around that epic nonsense, right?
Yeah.
So then, like, you are at least allowed to play cards for some point during the game.
Most brutal drawback in Magic: you can't cast spells for the rest of the game.
The spells were very strong, though. So, to be fair, like,
that is true.
I think this card
is
fine.
Is this firebending? This is what I'm concerned about, Seth.
Yeah, I guess they're improvising.
They're firebending or something.
That's the capstone project of their improvisation class, Richard.
I would love to see this card because I play High Noon and this is hilarious.
Oh, God.
Your first one doesn't work and then your paradigms don't work. And this is why this will never be a real thing, I think. If this is actually a card, people play High Noon, and then this is definitely not a card anymore. And it's 7 mana. You need 2 turns to get 8 mana worth of stuff back, at least,
but
right?
But if you dodge High Noon.
Or like,
you still probably die, but...
I mean...
7 mana is a lot.
If you play this in a deck with a bunch of big stuff, like the random encounter deck or something, like maybe it would be okay there. Because it is like at least 4 mana. So if you go 1 drop, 1 drop, 10 drop, you get all of them, right? So there are ways that you could get more value out of it, but it's probably still not good enough, I wouldn't think.
That's kind of funny. Maybe we just try to meme people like that.
I'm going to try to meme people with it. That's for sure.
I mean, I like the blue one, but I don't know if we're... I don't think we're talking about that. The blue
paradigm. No, we've been waiting this whole time to the conversation that matters, okay? The actual conversation that matters. Erode. Is Path to Exile good? Okay, so Erode, a single white mana, 1 white mana, instant, destroy target creature or planeswalker. Its controller may search the library for a basic land, put it into the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. So it's Path to Exile, except it destroys. It hits planeswalkers, Path to Exile exiles, I guess from the name. So creature or planeswalker, notably you can hit yourself to ramp, same with Path to Exile, right? You can hit your own stuff to ramp. You can hit your opponent's stuff. Is this playable or is this bait? Is Path to Exile like a good card in 2026?
It's nice to know that you can hit Kaido, but like I think you can't give your opponent a land, man. That's getting kind of dangerous. I feel like the resource nowadays, like the one additional mana is more important than ever, especially giving that to the opponent. I think this card might be, it's good, but it's a little overrated right now. right? Because I think that everything in this current standard has already kind of done something when it enters. And I can't give you a land. I wish this exiled. At least if it exiled, that would be better. But like the fact here is that I think this card is just fine. I think it is just fine.
I think it's roughly on the same level as Path to Exile as far as how good it is. I think hitting Planeswalkers mostly makes up for not exiling. I think this card will see play in Standard and be good in Standard, but I think in the short term, people are going to play this card super wrong, and it's going to be very bad for them, because I think this card is very good, right? Like, yes, Standard is very fast, but that means it values efficiency. So one mana way that you can get rid of your opponent's biggest thing and be able to like follow that up with more stuff, I think is very powerful. But this is a card you can't be using on turn one to get Grand Grand or turn two to get Badger Mole Cub. This has to be like a part of your removal suite. So in the late game, you can snipe the Sunderflock or you snipe the Big Finisher and have your mana up that you can like still be adding to the board and pressuring your opponent. So I think it's part of the Standard removal package. But I think in the short term, we're going to see people play four of them and be like sniping Badger Moles on turn two and realize that that is not a way to win a game of Magic.
If you can't snipe Llanowar, you can't snipe Badger Mole Cub, you can't snipe any of the things that you need to snipe immediately, is this the card that everybody thinks it is?
No, it's not as good as people think it. I think people overrate Path to Exile very much. Like, I think if it was literal Path to Exile on Standard, the problem would be exactly the same. Like, it would be the same issue. So I think this is probably like a one of two of style card, or maybe a sideboard card, or a card for specific decks. There is like a modern deck that still uses Path because it's like a land destruction deck. So you just run them out of basics and then Path is kind of a free roll. So like I could see certain decks or like maybe token decks. Like it works really well with Mobilize as like a ramp spell where you can hit your Mobilize tokens and you ramp off of it. But I don't know. Richard,
I got you. Oh, what Deadly you got, cover up, exile your forests, and now we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
We got him. Richard, what do you think? Path is
good,
this
is right?
Path
trash.
To Exile.
Oh my God. Path to Exile is and always has been trash. People
Whoa.
Will cope it for some reason, okay? Well, okay, let's clarify what trash means, okay? Trash means in like 99% of decks, it is complete garbage and you should play something else. Okay. So if you are playing like any deck with white, you're like, I need removal, you should not go to this card. Okay. But this is Magic the Gathering. All cards have a time and a place, right? Even the most D to F tier card in the right deck can do work. So maybe you could concoct some kind of deck where this actually does something, but you cannot play it in a normal mid range deck, aggro deck, anything. Especially since Get Lost exists, right? Like for one more mana, your downside is a lot worse, right? And you need to remember this is not spot your mana, spot your opponent a land, right? This is spot your opponent a rampant growth. Okay, so like, how would you feel if your opponent just randomly, like, companioned into rampant growth out of nowhere, cast it for free, and then put it on the battlefield? You're like, oh my goodness, like the game is over, right? Like, why do you have a free land on the battlefield? This is what you're giving them. So you cannot fire this off on the early turns. And then therefore, this is like kind of useless. Like you're trying to double spell like a 4 and a 1 on turn 5. And like that's going to win you the game for like not playing this on turns 1, 2, and 3. It reminds me of like Sierra Avenger or something, right? That says like this card cannot be played. It cannot be played in the early games. It is so dead. So this card is terrible. I am thinking about it in my High Noon deck though, Seth. Because... You high right. noon, right? And then on 3 and 4, you can, like, play this end of turn and then, like, flash in, like, a Flood Pits Drowner or play this and Aang. The one mana makes a difference and the High Noon is, you know, preventing this extra mana from, like, destroying you. Having said that, still sucks. If you don't have the High Noon, you're like, oh, wow, this is even a card, right? Now I'm just dead, right? So, it's so bad even in the good cases because you need some help. It's a combo piece.
The other consideration is how many basic lands are your opponents playing? Because that's the other thing that you see with Path, right? If, like, in modern there's times in matchups where no one's playing any basics and it's a free roll and it becomes very good. So I think we do have decks like that in Standard, right? Like the 3-color Badger Mole Cub decks, 5-color Elementals.
Okay.
Those are decks that play, like, a single basic if you're into, like, Bant Badger Mole or any of the 3-color Badger Mole. So there's some matchups where it's actually going to be better. And I wonder, Krim, as the mana base keeps getting better and better, do you think we end up in a world where there's so few basics people are playing because we have so many good dual lands that this could actually end up being better for that reason?
I think almost every deck right now, outside of like the four color plus decks, are playing a lot of basics.
Oh, right. As someone, it is bad against Izzet or like mono green, obviously. Demir, even.
Well, I mean, we're not even going to count mono green or Momo white, right? Like, we're not even going to count any of those, right? Yeah. But let's just say the three color decks like Jeskai, right? Does Jeskai decks have like 3 to 4 basics, which is still a decent amount? Granted that this is dead there because you have no creature to target. So let's actually use a different example because there's no creatures there. I still think like Lessons and all these decks are playing like 8 basics, right?
Yes.
So there's just basics everywhere. Demir midrange plays like 8 basics, 9 basics. So every deck where there's a creature for you to target, I think they're
there's also
delayed.
Landfall decks in the format that like
yeah,
actually...
and then you feel real bad if you have to fire this off and then add a counter to their ascension, right? Like I'm like, oh man.
So give me your guys' prediction then. Take I don't know your Azorius deck, Richard. Maybe not the Staxi version or like Momo White. Do you think when you look at this in 3 months, like how many copies are in the 75? Is it literal zero? Is this just like actually you play zero copies of this? Is it a couple in the sideboard, a couple in the main? What are the numbers are you thinking?
Seam Rip hits more than this and seems more beneficial. Not instant speed, can't hit a bigger creature, but it can hit anything. I mean, that's what Momo White would have to essentially replace that, right? Or get lost, personally, is what I think.
Those are the removal spells, yeah, the main ones.
Right? And are you replacing either of those for this, Richard?
Nope. I will tell you, everyone will play this, just like everybody played Path to Exile. I remember this clearly because, you know, I get a lot of flack these days for my takes, right? I don't care anymore. Like, I literally don't care because I know everyone is wrong. But going 10 years ago, I was not that confident, right? I was like, Path to Exile is complete and utter trash, guys. Like, every day, look at this card. I'm like, I'm playing Abzan. I do not want this garbage. Like, why am I playing? Everyone's like, Richard, Path is so good. I'm like, no, it's complete balls. Like, you don't want this. I played it for so long. Every single time, it was complete garbage. And then I cut it completely. And lo and behold, everyone finally realized it after, like, jamming this Path to Exile. And let me be clear. Swords to Plowshares is the S plus tiers card you could ever see. Okay. It's not like I'm some kind of spot removal hater or there's some like weird upside thing, right? It's like, no, Swords to Plowshares is S plus 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 plus, right?
Of
this
course.
Is like so, but everyone's like, oh, Path to Exile, of course it's good. It's on Modern play. If you can like path a Tarmogoyf and get away with it, why can't you do it in Stand? You know, like it's just garbage. There's
people,
no way. Zero.
People got to remember, too, that, like, when Path was the premier white removal spell in Modern, there were just not a lot of options. You're playing stuff like Condemn and Oust and just, really, like, absolutely trash-tier removal spells just because there weren't other options. So I think that Path's peak was basically it just being the best of a lot of really bad removal spells, and that made it a staple. But you see, it doesn't see play now because they printed Prismatic and like all these other like similar removal spells that don't give your Solitude, that don't give your opponent a land.
Don't give Path that much credit. Path rotated out way before they gave us the good ones.
Really?
Right?
People stopped playing it before we got the good spells?
Richard made
it.
Rotated
out way before Leyline Binding, way before Prismatic End. Like, people stopped playing it like pretty quickly.
Fatal Push, I think, was the first push to it out, but people just got smart.
People stopped forcing the stupid card, right? Like,
but you still got heavy removal. You still got to kill something. But I guess that's a question for Standard. Maybe just like Seam Rip and Get Lost. Maybe they're so good that we don't need this card.
Even
so
I would play another color and play 2-mana removal. Like that. That's how, like, you know what I mean? Like, there are cards so good that draw you into a color. And then there's cards so bad that I got to bring another color to like pull in the room. I'm like, well, my removal's terrible. Got to bring in red or black. I wouldn't be like, oh, Let's bring out the Sarode, boys. I'm like...
All right, one last question on this. When we jump onto Arena in 2 weeks when the set launches, how many of these do you think people will be playing in their decks week one? It's going to be everywhere, right? Like, everyone's going to be playing this card for the first couple weeks until they kind of catch on.
Like, why did I lose the Badgerbowl Cup, guys? I eroded their elf on turn one. What happened? I had the removal. What a broken deck.
Ban it. Ban that Badgerbowl. Unbeatable.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will play this in high numbers, and it's not going to be solid. But I am going to defend that Path to Exile real quick. Was a standard all-star, okay?
Oh, standard all-star, maybe. What deck was it in standard?
It was the blue-white cryptic deck.
Oh.
Right? Yeah, you Path was still good then. And remember in Modern when like Path was good in like the Gideon decks back when, you know, you could play Gideon control and all of that.
I mean,
okay, I will give you guys a place where you do play this. So remember Omniscience deck that is now banned? Like, a deck like that could play a card like this, where you're like, I'm going to use this to stabilize. You're going to go up a resource, but I'm just going to end the game next turn with my game-ending combo. So it's okay, right? However, we tend not to have these kind of decks in Standard, right? Like, if you somehow, like, path... a Vagimal Cub, you're probably dying anyway, right? So, but, you know, there is a world where there are certain decks that line up where you just simply do not care what your opponent is doing. Like, let's say balance is in the format for whatever reason, right? You path and then you balance, all is well, right? So there are worlds, but I think those are very far and few between. Like, I don't think we are in one of those worlds right now.
I think, yeah, combo decks, it gets better. I mean, just one last way to look at this. We've talked a bunch about how missing a land drop is so punishing today, and you just kind of like lose the game if you miss a land drop in Standard. If you erode your opponent, you're kind of doing the same thing, right? You're putting your opponent up land, which, as far as how the game's going to play out, is very similar to you missing a land drop as far as the resources on the battlefield. So if missing a land drop is just game-endingly bad, giving your opponent an extra land should also be very, very bad. Anyway, I think that's all the time we got for spoilers today.
We're not going to do the last bait card.
What was the last bait card? Okay, let's do it quick. Like, we got it. We got it again. What was the last bait card?
Mana Sculpt. It's Mana Drain, boys.
Oh, it's
one blue. Instant counter target spell. If you control a wizard, add an amount of colorless equal to the amount of mana spent to cast that spell at the beginning of your next main phase. So it's actually better than Mana Drain. It's the mana they spend, so not the mana value of the card. 3 mana, but you need a wizard. Notably, a lot of the cards we talked about today are wizards, like the Spellcraft, the Emeritus of Conflict.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
is this playable,
though?
Prim? Are we mana sculpted? The dream. Mana sculpted to Wong Shitan. Bam.
Dude, that is quite the dream. I think this card is terrible in Standard, by the way. Like, I love it in Commander. You know, you want to talk about a Commander? Great. In Standard, I think this card is terrible, unless for some reason wizard decks are like popping off. Even then, I don't know what deck.
What are there wizards that we play today? Like, what are incidental?
There actually
wizards?
Are a lot of wizards. Probably one of the best ones for the, like, I think there could be a wizards control deck. Thundertrap Trainer exists. SE's playing Modern and Pioneer control. Like, you could build a wizards control deck. The biggest issue, I think, outside of like having to be wizards, is we're in a cavern format. Like, counter spells just are not very good in
three
standard
steps
because
ahead
of
can
cavern.
At least draw.
Like, you're right. 3 steps ahead you can get away with, because worst case you can always draw some cards or copy something. But this is never going to do anything if your opponent has a cavern going, and a lot of decks are cavern decks. So I think I think you could build a wizard control deck where it'd be fine.
Oh, it exists. But you totally could, but it wouldn't be the what you think it is. It's not pure control. Okay, Seth, it's got to be Grixis Wizards. Grixis Wizards, you get Kefka,
Grixis?
You make the black mage tokens.
Actually sounds kind of, I want to put it in Doppelgang, but I don't know how to get a wizard in there, so.
You can still ramp through the cavern. You don't have to counter the spell. You still add the mana. So if you have a wizard.
So it's just like a ritual, 3 to maybe ramp. The thing is, like, in Standard, I feel like the average spell that I would want to counter may cost
like one
less
or two,
than
yeah.
the mana.
Yeah.
The mana sculpt or whatever this counter spell is. So I actually paid 3 mana to maybe net 1 mana.
What about with Snapcaster? Is this like a Modern card? Can we do some of that? Are we back in those days?
Wait, We're going to a faster format with our slow counter spell.
What? But Snapcaster. Yeah, with this would have been good. Man, this is another card that might have been sweet like a decade ago.
What would you do with all this mana though in those decks? Like your deck
Sphinx
is
Rev, Rich. Sphinx is Rev. We're going back to 2015. Counter,
so you're
untap,
gonna,
Sphinx
you're
is Rev, draw the cards.
Main phase, Sphinx is Rev to draw the cards.
Yeah, this card, let's just go ahead and throw this one in the bait. All the meat of this set, by the way, without going too in-depth, is, I think, a lot of uncommon. There's a lot of good stuff here at uncommon for standard. There's obviously things that are solid throughout, you know, the rarities, but uncommon seems pretty good.
When we say bait with this card, and I agree about uncommons, it also probably is good with Wizards Commander decks, right? Like, I played in a Wizard Commander deck super quick, like,
sure.
as a bad mana drain, so.
Of course. In Commander, when I'm casting, like, 5-plus mana spells, yeah, of course, that's great.
So I think the takeaway from this podcast is all the cards people are really hyped about from this set are actually just bait. I think that's what I've learned. Emeritus is the Lightning Bolt one, Ancestral, the Mana Drain, the Path.
Is the Emeritus Strix even
you're
just
like, Mox ABC, and it's like horrendous. But you're like, oh, it's a Mox. Must be good. It's Path to Exile. Must be good. It's Ancestral Recall. Must be good, right?
There are good cards, though, in this set. All the ones that are super hyped, I think, are just flashy.
Oh, no, they baited our podcast, too. We didn't get to talk about them.
Well, that's what next week's episode will be for, when we talk about the best cards from the set. But anyway, I think that's all the time we have for our podcast for today. So, Richard, we didn't get to fishmail today, but we're going to soon. How do people send in their fishmail questions?
All right, hit us up at MTGGoldfish with the hashtag MTGFishmail, and we'll get to your questions on air.
And that brings us to the end of episode 582 of the MTG Goldfish podcast. So, Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk about the rest of Secrets of Strixhaven and whatever else goes on in the world of magic. So, until then, have a lovely week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.